there are little explosions of form. On the primary level, the form of life is dynamic. Notice there's no polarity between Apollonian form and Dionysian energy. They interpenetrate so that the Apollonian form is Dionysiac in its energy. What is true? This is true. So they write, the isolated, well-fed, single fibroblast is thus revealed to be a restless, apparently unsatisfied creature, unable to stay quiet, but instead internally programmed to move. Any which way. Life on every stable level is incredibly restless and dynamic. It and all its progeny will continue moving and growing until the flat surface of the plastic dish is covered with a single layer of closely packed cells. Moving fibroblasts bear a resemblance to amoeba with their extending pseudopodia that we first saw in our early school science classes, but the details of their respective motions are not the same. Fibroblast movement is initiated by the rapid, virtually frenetic throwing out of filamentous extensions, microspikes, and sheet-like projections, lamellipodia. Lamel from like laminate. So not only are there little spikes that are sent out, but whole sheets of exploratory material sent out. By what? Not from the cell. The cell moves in that way. Rapid, virtually frenetic movement. Life is not so very polite. It's beautiful like a 9-year-old boy would be with a room full of toys. It's go, go, go. That's its nature. Each of these projections, the microspikes or the lamellipodia, each of these projections can make firm attachments to the underlying surfaces ahead. Such attachments lead to a forward flow of the cell's cytoplasm and its enclosed nucleus. Many, many more such locomotor protuberances are pushed out and ever make firm attachments. And those that fail to attach are swept up as ruffles in the backward flow of the upper cell surface that eventually sends them to the rear of the cell. Large numbers of potential adhesion points can thus be sampled with firm union made only to the most favorable sites. I'm going to end there because I think you're getting the picture now. The life process is protein. It doesn't plan for one strategic, nice little move. Without planning, it goes wherever it can go. And whatever can happen, has, and it goes from there. Life is pragmatic in a primordiality. It does not plan, but it proceeds in an empirical way along the way in which it can. However life can be, that's how it is. What's God's plan? God's plan is for life to be whatever it can be. Be fruitful and multiply. Not do this and don't do that, but go where you can go. Is it immoral or amoral? It's neither amoral nor immoral. It is ethical. Because only what is real will happen, will actually sustainably happen. What cannot happen recoils back and dissolves back along the line. You can never follow a lie very long. You can never follow a fantasy very long. You can fantasize that you've got enough psychic energy to turn the tree out there into a cinder, but the tree's not worried about that. It pays no attention to the fact that you're trying to imagine it burnt to a cinder and you get peeved because you can't do it. You can't follow fantasy and lie very long. Only in a kind of a parallel thought bubble can you allow yourself to be deceived that you are following it. In actuality, it's not working at all. Only what is real continues. So that life is ethical only on a cultural level is there a morality. The individual ethic is the paradigm for life, not the consensus rule. And you say, well, this seems pretty precarious. The actual fact is that it's impossible to sin against life. Life does not allow for the impossible to occur. It just won't happen. So that one's life ethic becomes very, very, very high. Much higher than any kind of morality. Much higher. You can trust your life to your deep self ethic sense. But you'd be pretty hard put to trust your life to the cultural mores that pass for morality. You're in real jeopardy in most places in the world if you do that. And as a psychological free individual, you're almost safe nowhere. And so there's quite a difference here. And what I'm saying here is that the spirit is ethical, far beyond what a cultural moray would expect in terms of a rule. Science in the 1990s is beginning to become ethical about life. But the boys who are following the rules for purposes of money and fame and power are getting worried because their little jig will be up as soon as real science begins to happen. Why? Because real science is spiritual and awakens millions of people. They recognize in their deep self that this is right. It's like the worldwide cheerfulness that was there about Voyager 2 going past Neptune. Do you not understand that there were hundreds of millions of people who were happy to see that deep, serene, mystical blue of Neptune? The mystical planet. And for the first time, Voyager 2 as an extension of us showed us it's not some cold, huge gaseous ball of an enormous and yet indifferent distance out there. It was like the perfect image, harbinger of the 1990s. The mystical blue giant that invites us to understand that we've now drawn a diagonal line through the whole star system and have seen the whole star system in its enormous unity for the first time. Science is spiritual, not just because it's poetically so, but in its actual functioning structure, it is so. Well, that's all I had to say today.